I never met my father. I know only that his name was Nathan and that he was an actor, or perhaps an artist. I've never been clear about that, actually. He had the same nose as mine, long and prominent, and curly hair like mine. He lived on the streets, under the bridges, and he slept in cardboard beds. According to what my mother told me, he entered her house to steal some food, and they started to fall in love that very night. They were born for that moment. He told beautiful stories, which was how he won her heart. I think about that every time I go up into the pulpit, because I must tell the most beautiful story of them all, about the freshwater fisherman whom a carpenter's son calls to change the world. They look at me hopefully, admiringly, without knowing a thing about me. They look at me after I've heard them confess their sins, which are almost always laughable compared to my own. They stare into my eyes to tell me that the flesh is weak, but the spirit is strong, and my words are the way to salvation. Every time you fall, you're reborn. And their faces light up in a smile when I hand them the body of Christ, who was crucified for me. Even afterward, when they come to greet me on the parvis in front of the church, I continue to speak with passion, with the joy of one who believes that the crooked world can really be made straight. And they say, "Thank you, Father Abram, thank you." And maybe even they find that an absurd name for a priest. There's nothing that demonstrates solitude better than a priest's room. The musty smell, the books, the wardrobe containing not many clothes, and all of them dark. The missal, the prayer book, the photograph taken at the moment of ordination, the ordinand lying prostrate on the floor in front of the altar to receive the spirit that saves and guides. Change it into strength, Father John used to tell me, and always look inside yourself, without fear of what you may see there. Noli foras ire, in te ipsum redi, in interiore homine habitat, veritas. I've tried it, Father John, and I still believe it, but I can't do it. And every time I try, I behold the abyss. In the evening, before I go to bed, they all come back to visit me, all my girls. I imagine them at the moment when they make it clear that we're about to do it. That is, at the loveliest moment. Then I also imagine them when they look me in the eye and say, "You're a priest. Aren't you ashamed?" Dina said it with a simple smile, but not Lisa. She says it with a caress, because she loves me as she loves her own life, and she can't accept that I'm married to a 2,000-year-old church. They appear while I'm saying Mass, while I'm performing a baptism, while I'm uniting a couple in marriage, while I'm administering the last rites and anointing the sick. Once it happened even while the bishop was giving me instructions concerning this parish, whose congregation is shrinking. It was up to me to revive it. It was up to me to spread the Savior's word. He's a good man, the bishop. He may be the only priest I could bring myself to confess to. I always have trouble going to sleep, and I have trouble waking up. Then the night drags on. I am filled with restlessness until the dawn. I read in the book of Job. And I also read, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. They come to an end without hope. Remember that my life is like the wind. My eye will not see happiness again." In my sleepless nights, I think back on the woman who gave birth to me. When I decided to become a priest, I thought I also understood why.